Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Really, Riley?
Are you ready?
This is the Really Riley Podcast. Woo!
Well, hey there, beloveds. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to the Really Riley Podcast. My favorite day of the week because it's Ask Riley Day. And you guys get to ask the things you really want to know. And you brought it as per usual. But the array of questions today is so cool because it's like so different, so like out of the box. There's a bunch of different things for everybody, and I love that because I really get to know you guys through you guys asking these questions and what you want to know. And then hopefully I can do a little bit of connection vibes with you guys because that's the goal around here. So again, if you're new around these parts, thanks for stopping by my little corner of the world. And the one thing I always promise to y'all is that I don't pretend to be an expert on anything, but I will always be very real and very raw with you on everything. So let's get into it. First question on here. Oh, good. I'm recording these podcasts for you guys now, and I literally just like shifted my light, and the big expensive light Marshall got me for my podcast revamp just shook. And I'm like, I'm always very sensitive when lights and things shake because it's like an omen for me. Remember a couple podcasts back that the light was flickering and it was literally my mentor that passed away, Kane. Like every time I feel that, I'm like, woo, hi, how are you, buddy? Please don't mess with me. all right, but let's get into it. So somebody said, what are some ways you stay true to your authentic self? You know, that's been my blessing and my curse in my life is being, I always say, too real for the world because I'm allergic to bullshit. Even of the many times that I have tried so hard to put myself into a box, to be what people wanted me to be, it always came back and bit me in the ass because eventually my Puerto Ricanía is going to come out seeping through my pores and then it like shocks the shit out of people. It's like, you know, I was always a yes girl. And I did a podcast about this a while back that was like, I want to be a yes and girl. Like, yes, I will do that for you. And I would hope this would happen in return. Or yes, but. I don't like the but because it has a negative connotation. But like, yes, but here's the boundary I'm going to have to put out if I'm kind of trepidatious about what I'm doing with you. But that's a whole like separate thing. But it goes back to like being true to yourself of like, I know this is going to bother me later. I know eventually this is going to eat at me and do me no service to try to be anything different than what I know to be like innately. So I just stopped doing it. Like when I was at my former job in radio, in terrestrial radio, I really tried really hard to like play well in the sandbox, as they say. That's like a radio term when you're getting hired. That it's like, oh, it looks like they'll play well in the sandbox. I'm like, what am I, a child? Ugh, but I stopped playing well in the sandbox. It's like, if there's something you're doing that's testing me, I always say I'm nice until I'm not. It's not like I'm going around just acting like I'm the queen of all things and you have to bow to me, but I don't change my opinion or what I want to convey for anybody. It's sort of like a long time ago, I had a host at the time that he didn't like me at all, but his brother, who he completely adored, and this was like his best friend, completely respected him, would listen to our show all the time out of a different state. And I remember him telling him one time,
And it almost like, it was like, when he said this to me, it's like it pained him to say it. But he's like, yeah, my brother said of you, Riley, that like you never switch up what you're going to say because somebody else wants you to. Listeners would call the show and they would like be berating me because of something I said. I'm like, well, hey, I'm sorry if you don't agree with me, or I'm sorry if it made you feel some kind of way, but that's my opinion. And, you know, a lot of times opinions are like assholes, but if you don't like it, then you don't need to be sniffing around it. I think I came into this world just that way. I'm the black sheep of my family. But they always know, love me or hate me, you're going to know what's really on my mind. And especially in terms of media, it's just like, I've always been one that's like, well, if you hate me, you're probably going to follow me more. So there's that. But it's not always a blessing. No, I don't want to say that. It's not always been a blessing for me to be so authentic, because sometimes you lose people you care about because I just can't bullshit. I just don't know how. I mean, there's even been times where I've had like fights with my husband kind of because I'm going to say what I want to say. And I have a very sharp tongue, you know, so sometimes my authentic self gets in the way of relationships. So I'm not going to say I'm ever going to mute myself. I mean, I did find my person that like will, you know, love me good, bad or the ugly. But I just think that why fake it? For what? Who's it making happy? Somebody else? That if they really cared about you and really wanted you in your life or in their life, that they wouldn't want to change you? I don't know. It sounds way more simple than it is in real life, but that's it. I'm allergic to bullshit. I just don't know how to do it. So there's that. I like that question a lot. Just curious if you listen to your podcast opener and ever think of changing it, Eric, etc. Yeah. I love the opener because I wrote it. Like a lot of times with openers, you'll just give it to some production person and they'll give you options and that was it. But I always remembered I wanted it to be a bunch of different people saying like, really, Riley? Because that's what people always say to me, because I'll say something off the wall and I loved like embodying that. I do want to change it. I want to make it a little bit more modern because it's 8 years old now almost. And yeah, there's voices on there I don't really want to hear anymore, but that costs money. And I want it to be done really well because the person that did such a great job with a lot of the elements, as they say, because if you were to look at the editing software and to see all the elements that went into that, it would give me a headache to look at it. And I really got to figure out somebody to do it well. So if you know anybody that's in audio that wants to collab, please send them my way. And yeah, I know a lot of people in the industry that could do it, but they're usually all under contract, so they can't really do outside stuff. No question. I hope you and the family are well. Thank you. We are. It's been a very weird couple of years almost. Damn, it's been a year and a half since I got fired. And a lot of things seem to go up and down and all around with the life and the peaks and the valleys. But I'm thinking a lot of things are going to pan out and we're going to have some peace in this next season. This is amazing, an amazing photo of you. Any fashion tips you can share for a teacher constantly on the move throughout the day? Okay, so I usually post these question box on Instagram, and I posted a photo of me for my vision board event last weekend, and I have this like flouncy vintage looking skirt. It's sort of like a mustard color, but like almost more yellow than orange, and it ties around the waist, so it cinches in this really pretty like polyester blend, but it's flowy and it moves with you and it's got pockets and it's a little bit longer, but I'm a short person. I'm like 5'2.5" on a good day. So it hits at like the ankles, but it went in such a way that it flowed, that it kind of dipped down in the front and then dipped down in the back, but not like to the point where it was like weird looking in the cut, but it just flowed with you. And it was so comfortable because I was running around like a mad woman. I don't stay still at all during that vision board workshop. And I think it was like $26 on Amazon. And I'm cheap too. I like to get my stuff for like $15.99. But I put together a little list because I remember when I was first getting into radio, I worked at this desk job as like a data entry person or like a secretary. And I was just like, I cannot do a 9-to-5 because I refuse to wear like casual workwear all day. I don't like it. It's just not me. I'm like, you know, like a Jordans kind of girl or a stilettos kind of girl. I'm kind of not like muted fashion. It seems like what a lot of business casual wear is. And I always end up either being like too dowdy or too sexy for it. But there's this company, I'm sure you guys have seen it if you're on TikTok, Halara. And I've never ordered anything from them, but everybody sings their praises about their work pants. So the ones that I looked up were the waffle fabric work pants. They have pockets on them. Good for a teacher. They're wide leg, but they fit, they cinch the waist and they fit on the bottom, on the bum. So it doesn't make you just look like you're wearing a kite or like, I don't know, like a air balloon. But they have like great colors, rose tan, apricot. What is this? Apricot orange. See, I'm not an orange person, but some people are. Mountain spring. That's a really, really pretty like sagey color. And then they have deep sapphire blue, because I feel like a lot of business casual, you get afraid to do like color because it seems either too loud or just, you know, too much. But I think that's the key, is like one or the other with the color. Like if you're going to do a very loud fabric, obviously it needs to be a very muted color on the top. And this doesn't really go for teachers, but my rule of fashion is if you're going to accentuate one thing, you can't accentuate the other. For me, I'm like, it was always the tits or the ass, or the legs. Like legs or boobs. Show up the legs, cover up the boobs. Show up the boobs, cover up the legs. I think it's kind of like that in terms of even work clothing with business casual. Like if you're going to have a very flouncy skirt that's just, you know, flowy, then maybe you do a little bit more fitted on the top. I also don't know exactly what grade students you're teaching, but this list is pretty friendly for all of them. So there's another company on Amazon called Pover. I don't know where they come up with these names. Povogager, blah, blah, blah. Povoger. I'll send you the link if you DM me at Riley Couture. So it's a high top sneaker. It almost looks like a generic Van, because I love me some Vans. And never underestimate the power of wearing like a really good, clean white sneaker or even a colored sneaker that's a high top, because especially if you're doing it like with a skirt or a pair of jeans, like nice denim that could look like, you know, work pants. Because again, I don't know what your dress code is. But something about the high top just finishes it off. I'm always about a high top. Some people don't like it, but for me, I have skinny ankles, so it kind of works. But these high top sneakers are only $25 on Amazon, and they have them in like navy, black, white, sage. They even had like pink ones. I don't think you should do a pink shoe with sneakers, because that looks a little bit unprofessional. I don't know, depending on what your dress code is. But also, staple belts. They're coming back big time. I'm seeing them everywhere. And I was never really like a belt person. I have one fake Gucci belt that I wear all the time, and it's my staple belt. It's just the right thickness. The buckle is obviously, you know, the fake Gucci logo, but it's like simple. And I've noticed, like when I was trying to do my business casual but set like still funky for that panel that I did in DC, you know, for like, you know, like women in media, I was like, wow, that just finishes it. It just kind of like cleans it up, even if it's something casual, because I feel like you could put a t-shirt on, a good pair of jeans, a blazer, and a belt, and that just changes the entire look. But they have this one thing, where is it? Thing of staple belts. I think it was like three of them. It was black, white, and cream. And then Von Melli, Vonmelli. $21 for all three belts. Black, camel, cream. I mean, I feel like you could put that with everything. And shearing skirts. So those are the skirts that are like pleated, very like 1950s. I feel like that look is, you know, coming back. It's the same. The ones that I'm seeing are the same length as the one that I wore to the Vision Board event. If you want to check it out, it's on my Instagram at Riley Couture. But I'm not even going to try to say that. Basotteeuo store. Basotteeuo. I have no idea. But they have black, green, coral, pink, but they have a leopard green. So it's like black spots and then this really pretty like hunter green color. And then they also have like a leopard pink, but it was like more of a dark hot pink. I think that's cool to incorporate like dimension into the fabric and the color. Like I'm not really a print girl per se. I don't really go too crazy with prints. I have one leopard skirt and I wore it one time and I love it. And it's for some reason I don't go for it. But I feel like, especially if you're around kids and you're wearing outfits that are like still chic, because you dress for the job you want. And I've always said, like, if you have an outfit on, no matter what age you are, that it just like puts you together, there's a form of respect there that comes in. I've always been extra with my outfits because it's just, it gives off a certain aura to you if you have that. And let's face it, kids can be little shits. So if you're giving off that aura with your outfit, your whole vibe changes, you know? So yeah. And also like good jewelry. A lot of people don't wear jewelry that often, but if you just have like a good staple pair of like hoops, again, depending on what kind of kids you're teaching, because, you know, babies, I haven't been able to wear hoops in a while. And y'all remember me and my hoochie hoops now. Now when those come out, it's a fuck around and find out moment. But yeah, good staple stuff, but good color. Oh, the other one I don't want to forget about, colored denim shirts. So obviously we've seen the chambray shirts that are just regular denim, but they have this one store, V-E-T-I-N-E-E, Vetinee, on Amazon. Again, I will send you all these links if you DM me. But they're collared shirts, and you can roll them up because that's what makes it look polished and clean to the elbows. And obviously if you're, you know, hands are in things, you're working with students and paperwork all day, you don't really want like a long sleeve at the wrist. But they've got a pink one that's not an obnoxious pink, like especially if you put it with like a black pant, because I don't know if you want to wear white pants to school. That could be dangerous with kids. They've got a coral one that looks pretty for spring, black. If you put a black one on with denim and a good belt, like a brown or a tan belt, I know, just bear with me. It sounds funky, but I might have to do like a try on for something like this. Also, they have a, like a really deep dark blue one. That would be good if you wore white. I think good staple stuff, but don't be afraid to do like colors and fabric and things like that. The best way to make mom friends is the next question. So this is kind of tricky in a sense, because I used to always say, fun factoid, this podcast at one point was going to be called Not Your Average Mom Jeans. Glad I didn't go with that, because I was trying to say that I'm not your average mom, and that was when mom jeans were all out, but it didn't really stand the test of time. I think really Riley did a little better. But moms can be judgy AF. So I get why this question is kind of hard, because I don't feel like I really fit in, I don't know, with a lot of the moms I know, because I'm weird. I don't know. Maybe I do and I just feel weird or something like that, because for most of my mom life, I was a chick on the radio. And that's what people would always see me as. Most of the mom friends don't even call me by my real name. But Riley is really my real name too nowadays, you know, because more people call me Riley than Raquel. But it can be difficult. But that's the thing too. There are a lot of moms out there that really just want connection. Because when you're talking to a damn toddler all day, it's like you just need somebody that understands that you're just overtouched and overstimulated and you just want to chill. And I think it's important to find your type of mom group. Because sometimes, you know, since I was fired from radio, it was like in the beginning, I was just like a pseudo stay-at-home mom. And I was like, okay, well, let's go to the library. I don't know what it is about the library sometimes, but they're judgy, wudgy ass moms. They're always looking at you like, oh, my child would never steal that toy like yours. Like, they don't say that, but the look on their face, you can absolutely see that that's what they're thinking. And I'm like, bitch, let my kid beat up your kid. Kidding, but not really. But I think there are the people that you can get the vibe from them. If your kid freaks out in front of another mom, and she gives you a reassuring smile, that might be somebody you want to go and strike up a conversation with. Just ask them how old their kids are. You have no idea how much that starts a conversation. I've always been comfortable, obviously, having conversations with people or not. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. And it's nothing against moms. It's like, I'm tired. I'm getting through this play part of the day so Malin can get tired out and go to bed. You know, but if you get that one, like you're having a really crappy moment, and she'll look at you like and give you just like, it's going to be okay, mama. You know, at Malin's mommy and me preschool thing that we've been going to the last month, there was this one mom that her son was flipping his shit the first day, screaming, batting her in the face. And I just like looked at her. And I was like, I get it, mama. And, you know, then we striked up a conversation about how our beautiful little boys were terrors. And I just think, you know, tomorrow is his last one. And I might end up being like, hey, here's my Instagram. You don't even have to be like, here's my number. Because I think setting up play dates is not, with people I don't know, like with people I do know, that's great. Like, because I think that's cool that you can like have your kids come, you know, entertain each other and then you guys get to chit chat. Because I don't love play dates with moms I don't know. It's awkward. But if you can set up a play date and you like that, great. But if not, just like chit chat on Instagram, get to know each other. And then see where it goes from there. See if the conversation can go past just your kids. Because I don't always want to just talk about my kids all the time. Yeah, there's mommy groups and stuff. But I don't really love all those organized mommy groups. What about yoga? Yoga is always a good place to find moms. Find moms. That sounds so weird. I mean, really, the bottom line is there are way more moms out there that want to hang than don't. And I think that's your ticket. If you're having a moment and that mom understands you, that might be your people. Can you manifest for someone else for them to heal and do well? Oh, right up my alley. I love this one. So it's a yes and no on that one. Again, no expert, but I'll tell you from my real raw perspective on some of the research that I've done and some of the experimental stuff I've done with people. Because once upon a time, I tried to manifest a different outlook for someone else that I saw flailing. I saw just going down this downward spiral. At the time, I thought they were my friend. At the time, I thought we were on a good path. At the time, I thought we were working on building something bigger together. And this wasn't a romantic thing at all. And I could see it in his eyes that I was like, you're struggling and you don't want to act like you are. And I remember just having this conversation with him being like, I'm really scared for you because you're going to go down a path that you've already seen happen and you don't want to do that. So then I would try to start like manifesting things, you know, for him to change his mind on things. And that backfired. That backfired because I wasn't great at manifesting things for other people. And I don't want to say that I manifested bad things because that person just, you know, turned out to be a shit person and there was nothing I could do to change that person's mind. So you can't manifest things like in changing people. You can't, this usually doesn't work with people that are your foes. But if they are someone that you care about and love about, here's a tip or a trick to do that. And this is via Abram Hicks. So you want to focus on the positive for them. I always still say this, like what you think about, you bring about. And as I was reading this, I realized I was like, maybe I have helped do this for a few people that have come to my manifestation seminars. Like one of my besties, my We Got This Army, like friends that came to the Vision Board event. Like I was manifesting marriage for her because the last couple of months before she met the person she's with now, which I'm fingers crossed and toes and universe and all my crystals. Like she was really in a dark spot. And it was funny because I was talking to her over the weekend for the Vision Board event. I was like, I remember you being so distraught over this one person, you know, because she wants to manifest love. And it was funny because when I said this to her, she was like, who is that? Oh, she didn't even like remember him. And this wasn't that like super long ago. I was like, yes, because I remember thinking of her. And whenever I would see like wedding things or I would see her with her new man, maybe her future husband, I would just think inside like, yes. And I would think about what it would feel like for her to get engaged and how smiley she would be. And I would just picture that for her. And in a sense, when you're there and around them and you exude that energy, it's like they're borrowing that energy from you. I'm very empathic. I suck up people's energy, good, bad, or indifferent a lot of times. And if you can stay in that space in terms of healing, because a lot of times people will say, oh, poor them, or I feel so sorry for them, or oh my God, I feel so bad for you. Because it's almost like you're pouring fuel on the fire, especially if it's like health, mental health, physical health, whatever. Because obviously you don't want to placate somebody. But I refuse. I'm allergic to it. When people are having ailments or when people are having bad health, this was one of the biggest things like in the Secret series, you know, like the magic and the purpose or whatever, that like when people overly talk about their bad health or talk about their problems or like vomit that on you all the time, I gotta go. Like I noticed with one of my closest We Got This Army friends that I was doing that a lot. That it was like every time I would talk to her, it was just like I just had something negative or bad to say. And she's an empath too, so she'd be there for me. But I'm like, ugh, I got to quit it. I got to stop that. I have to like put my mind elsewhere. So what I'm saying in terms of manifesting for someone else in terms of good health and just doing well and getting off the trajectory of doomsday mentally and physically all the time, you kind of got to like see them as you both would want to see them. Like harness that energy of you want to see them in good health, mentally and physically. Think about them that way. See them that way. Like don't coddle the tragedy. Don't coddle the sickness. I don't know. It's kind of like, I always equate everything back to my boys or my toddler, my youngest Malin. He's in that stage where he knows how to fake cry. And when something happens to him that we know he's okay, if you're like, oh, are you okay? And he's like, like, you know, that he's fake crying and soaking that moment up. I'm not saying this person that you're trying to manifest, you know, being well or good things for does that. But sometimes I always go back to this song lyric. You can get addicted to a certain kind of sadness. And then if there's people around you feeding that fire, So basically be excited for the outcome for them. If they're trying to manifest health and all that, like think about them and visualize them that way. Because they're in, if you are happy around them and they're happy to be around you and your energy, then you're feeding good things into their, you know, cup. So their cup can run over, you know? So it's not an exact science, but I do believe what you think about you bring about. So yeah, I mean, like I said, you can't like manifest some dude to fall in love with you if he's not. I mean, there's like spells for that, but that's not manifestation, if you know what I mean. So, next one. My question is long, so I sent a DM. Okay, like I looked this one up. Trying to send an Ask Riley podcast question, but it won't let me. I guess it was because it was too long. She said, am I a terrible person for being upset about my due date and getting pregnant so fast? I thought it would take a little longer and I'm due in January 2025. Congratulations. So bummed about this and I want a spring or summer 2025 baby. My four-year-old daughter will be the best big sister, but I'm so bummed. My husband and daughter and I are Marchies. Ha, that's cute. And I'm a May baby. I'm in my head and I really wanted an April baby or a summer baby. I feel so terrible for these feelings that I'm having. Okay, first of all, don't, because pregnancy is such a mind screw. Such a mind screw. And your emotions are all over the place. Like I literally cried. I bawled when I found out Malin was a boy. And I know that, you know, gender disappointment, I did a podcast on that one too, is not abnormal. You know, but in terms of months, like even Stassi Schroeder from Vanderpump Rules, and now she does her own podcast, that she was like, literally like, I'm going to cross my legs because I want a certain birthstone for my daughter or son. I forget which pregnancy it was for her. I did that. Like, I didn't do that. But Lyric's an October baby and that's Opal. And I was like, oh, Opal, I don't want to wear that because I, you know, y'all know me and my rings and my jewelry. But I don't think you should be sad or feel bad for having some sort of expectation that you got let down. Because I do promise you this, the minute that baby pops out, you're not going to feel these things. You're going to be focused on that baby and the focus on the fact that you have zero sleep and a little human that's adorable is taking a piss on you every day. I know that I sound condescending right now and that you're pregnant, and you're probably slapping me through this, you know, screen, but those weird irrational fears when you're pregnant or those weird irrational, you know, letdowns, let me not call you irrational, but they feel, obviously you're saying you feel terrible for it. They're just, when you have a child and you're bringing a new child into the world and you have this expectation, because you put those expectations every single time and then you get a letdown because your body is doing so much work. You're transcending yourself into this vessel for this new human being. You're preparing for all these things. It's scary. It's, you know, it's elation. It's emotional. It's painful. It's, you know, all of the things. So those are all things that a lot of times you can't control the outcome of how they come out. So that's something you really want to try and control. And you can't control shit, usually, when you're a parent. Like, we plan and God laughs. But I don't think that you should be feeling bad for that. You know? But I promise you, when that other baby comes out, you're really not going to care. Every single thing happens as it should, even in parenting and childbirth. And there was a lot of things that I was really sad about when Malin was coming around that I was like, I so wanted a little girl for my husband. Like, I wanted him to have my son, a boy, and then a girl. And I wanted a girl so bad I could taste it. Now, I even had a conversation with my 8-year-old today, which is insane that he said this. He's like, Mommy, you know, someday, like when I have a son, I want to treat him like Marshy treats me. And I'm like, oh, that was one sweet thing. But he also said, like, yeah, I want to have sons. I was like, no daughters. He's like, no daughter, no. Ugh. And I agree with him. Ain't nothing wrong with daughters. I'm a daughter. But for me, God help me, having a miniature Riley running around on her period and giving side eyes and wearing hoochie hoops. Nope. I just went on a side tangent there. But yeah, like seriously, don't feel bad for having any of these feelings. There's a lot of emotion built up in bringing new life in this world. So whatever you're feeling, go through it. And side note, if you want to have some judgy ass mom or somebody else telling you not to feel that way, bye bye. You're pregnant. You're allowed to be whatever you want right now. I used to always say that to Marshall when I was pregnant with Malin. I'm pregnant. I win. I still use that even though I'm not pregnant anymore and have zero plans to have another one. Don't y'all start this. You could have a girl thing. We're done. Bye-bye. Baby factory is closed. And with that, thank you, thank you, thank you guys for listening. Really good questions this week. Really, really good. But also, I have a pop-up this weekend because I've been a busy, busy bee and it is going down at Dynamic Hammock. I'm so excited for this. They're having like this really cool showcase with like aerial performances and it's so beautiful what they do and so like just like mesmerizing. But I'm going to be out there before the performance, during and after, so you can come get your last, very last minute mom gifts. And if you haven't checked out the podcast of some outings that you could do just down, like some really fun things besides just going to a spa, not that there's anything wrong with that, that's there. And I also had my fave five realistic mom gifts, the stuff that we really want. So make sure you go listen to all that stuff if you're planning Mother's Day last minute as hell. But yeah, thank you guys for these questions and thank you for listening. I will chat with you tomorrow. It's Really Riley.